Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So just a calendar reminder, okay? There's no shiur the next 2 weeks, okay? I announced last week, I'm announcing it again. June 30th, we do not have shiur. July 7th, we do not have shiur. Shiur resumes, Be'ezrat Hashem, July 14th. So after today, there are 2 weeks off as per the Young Israel of Woodmere-based Medrash program schedule. And their summer series begins for my class July the 14th. So after today, that's the next time we meet. So please mark your calendars accordingly. And if you have friends who are not here who usually attend this year, please share that information so they don't come in person or on Zoom the next 2 weeks. Also, my good friend messaged me, her first cousin's granddaughter. Today is the sixth yahrzeit of Halal Yaffa Ariel. If you remember, I hope you remember Halal Yaffa Ariel. It was the first day of summer vacation. I believe she was 17 years old, less, younger. I think the terrorist was 17 years old. Younger, she was sleeping in her bed, in her bedroom in Hebron when the terrorist Yimach Shmo V'Zichro entered the home and stabbed her to death in her bedroom, in her bed. Today is her sixth yahrzeit, which I did not even know, so my friend, who is her first cousin's granddaughter, reached out to me to let me know, so Tehei Zecha Baruch, and Hashem Yin Kam Dama. Oh, 12, I was going to say 12 or 13. When I said 17, it was a mistake, because I think the terrorist, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, was 17. She was a very young girl. Today is her sixth yahrzeit. Okay, so this is our last class before we break for the summer calendar. This week's parasha is Parasha Shlach. So I've chosen to speak about something all the way at the end, which is what we call the paragraph of Vayomer, if you will, and the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, so I'm going to begin by quoting from a Sefer Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. And then we will go in to see the psukim after. Mitzvah tzitzis. So when the men put on their tzitzis in the morning, they make a bracha over the command to wear tzitzis. We will look at the psukim after. Rabbi Mordechai of Neshet, Poland, deeply desired a pair of tzitzis from Eretz Yisrael. He wanted tzitzis from the wool of a sheep that ate from the grass of Eretz Yisrael. However, in the 1700s, as one can well imagine, it was most difficult for someone in Europe to get anything from Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Mordechai was very determined, and sure enough, after much hard work, he got hold of a woolen garment from Eretz Yisrael. He gave it to his Talmud to make a pair of tzitzis for him. The Talmud was carefully doing just that when, to his horror, he realized he mistakenly cut two openings for the head of the tzitzis. The garment was folded over, and instead of cutting one opening for the head, he cut two. The garment was now ruined. He brought the cloth to Rav Mordechai of Neshetz, expecting to receive an earful and a reprimand for his negligence. At first, when the Rebbe saw his precious woolen tzitzis he worked so hard to obtain were ruined, his face turned red, reflecting an internal anger and anguish. And after a few tense moments, he smiled and he said, "This pair of tzitzis was indeed meant to have two openings." The Talmud whispered, "Two openings?" "Yes," said Rav Mordechai. It's a famous story. Maybe you've heard it. It's brought down in other sources as well. "One opening for my head and the other opening to test me if I could control myself and not fly into a rage in a moment of anger. I will keep this pair of tzitzis ruined from Eretz Yisrael to remind myself every morning not to give in to anger throughout the day." The Vilna Gaon was once holding a pair of tzitzis in his hand, and he lamented, "In this world, with a few coins, one can perform a mitzvah. In the next world, even with a tremendous amount of money, one cannot even perform one mitzvah." With this concept interesting, we can explain the words of Yosef HaTzadik in the Pasuk, describing the type of ruler he advised Paro to seek out. When they call him up from prison, it's Perak Mem Aleph, Bereishis, they call him up from prison, and he is giving Paro advice as to what kind of ruler you should appoint over the people. Paro should appoint an Ish Navon V'Chacham, a discerning and wise man. Navon is from Bina, and Chacham, his wife, one could understand the importance and necessity of appointing a wise person, someone capable of managing the country's abundant wealth during the 7 years of plenty. This ruler must be capable of planning and managing and storing tremendous amounts of wheat. But why a discerning person? Why an Ish Navon? Wouldn't a smart accountant be more logical to manage and distribute all the grain? And then he says as follows. Imagine a person who is enjoying a hearty continental breakfast. Imagine you're like in a hotel somewhere, or even better, you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're enjoying the Israeli breakfast that comes with the, you know, stay. That's really something halavai to imagine. 3 bagels with cream cheese, 2 eggs, white fish, cups of juice, a bowl of cereal, fresh brewed coffee. He would be so full he wouldn't even be able to stand up. Now tell him he's going on a trip. My Israel mashal is really good, because this happens in Israel. When you finish the breakfast, you say to the kids, what do you want for lunch? And what do they say? What do they say? What? I can't even think about lunch. How could I think about lunch when I'm so stuffed from breakfast? So this is not just a maisa. If it's ever happened to you, it's true. I can't think about it now because I'm so full. Right now he's full. It will be difficult to imagine what he will be like when he's hungry because he can't think about food. This was the situation in Egypt. They were forewarned there would be 7 years of abundance and it would be followed by 7 years of terrible famine. But even though they knew in their heads that in 7 years there would be so much famine, it would be difficult for them to truly internalize what it meant because there was so much abundance now. You can't imagine when you're so full what it's like to be so hungry. Like, I have so much now. How could I think about when I'm going to be hungry later for supper? Only someone who has bina, who is an ish navon, who is discerning, can see the future. It's not enough to be chacham in the moment here and now. You also need to have the bina to understand what will be, even though that's not the situation at the present. It's the same with us. We are in this world for a few years. It all goes so quickly. You know, last week our daughter came back from seminary. We just sent her. We were just in Newark Airport. We were just dropping off the luggage, waiting in line, meeting the families behind us, giving her the brachos, watching her walk through security. It just happened. How did it happen that the whole year is over? My boys just finished 10th grade, and one of them said, I can't believe the year is over. He said, I remember after Sukkot, we said it's such a long zman, he was saying, because it's an Ibur Shana. And now it's finished. I find it surreal. It's so hard to comprehend. It's the same with us. We're only in this world for a very short few years. And there are so many mitzvos for the taking. Sometimes we feel full. We feel like we're doing it all. We're davening, we're going to shir, and we're doing chasad, we're giving tzedakah, we're big man for shkala, we're cooking for Shabbos, we're doing all the mitzvos. We feel so full. Sometimes we need the bina to understand and appreciate that it's not always going to be like this. And a person leaves this world as full as you feel now. There's all of mitzvahs, there's always room for more. It's like dessert. You should always have room for more. But lemaisa, we have to somehow have the bina. Bina yaseira nasna l'isha yoser mi b'ish, neither 45b. We have to have the bina, the intuition, the understanding that it's not always going to be like this. There will become a time when we are hungry, so to speak. So we need to take as much as we can now in this world. This is why the Vilna Gaon was holding his tzitzis and crying. Mitzvos in this world are so accessible. And in the Olam HaEmes, they are not. It would be wise for us to bear this in mind because the tzitzis serves as a reminder for the 613 mitzvos, as we will see in Rashi shortly. Furthermore, Reish Lakish says in the Gemara Masachah Shabbos, whoever is careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis will merit to have 2,800 servants serve him in the time when Mashiach comes. Okay, so I know you women are sitting here thinking, this does nothing to do with me, so why are we talking about this mitzvah? So first of all, everything in the Torah applies to everybody. Not every person can fulfill 613 mitzvahs. No one can fulfill 613 mitzvahs. It's impossible. Because some mitzvahs are for kings, so anyone who's not a king can't fulfill this mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are kohanim. Anyone who's not a kohen can't fulfill this mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are for the levium. Anyone who's not a levi can't perform this mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are only for men. Some mitzvahs are for women. So there's no one who could perform all 613 mitzvahs. By Klal Yisrael coming together as one unit, each person doing their tafkid, kish echa b'leiv echa, based on something I heard once from Rabbi Zev Lev, then we are able to ensure the fulfillment of all 613 mitzvahs when we come together as a klal. Second of all, if it's in the Torah, of course it's relevant to us, even if it's not a beged that you actually wear. So it's interesting. The Gemara tells us in Masecha Shabbos, whoever is careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis will merit to have 2,800 servants serve him when Mashiach comes. 10 men from each nation, so there's 70 nations, 10 times 70 is 700, will grab onto each corner. What's each corner? 4 times 700, because there will be 700 men from the nations, will grab onto each corner, 4 corners times 700 men is 2,800 of your tzitzis. From this Gemara, we learn how important and valuable the mitzvah of tzitzis is. Imagine them for a moment, the disappointment of you watching people run to serve your friend. All the friends will have people vying for the opportunity to serve them. And if you do not embrace this mitzvah, you will be left standing all alone. He will be asked why he does not have servants serving him. And he will say he was not wearing tzitzis. It is imperative to make certain that the mitzvah is fulfilled every day as it should. So that's just an introduction to our shiur. This beged was meant to have two holes, one for my head and the other to remind me not to become angry. The Vilna Gaon lamented that in this world we are so full of mitzvos, in the next world we cannot do any more mitzvos. And the mashal to why Yosef said, you need an ish knavon v'chacham. It's not enough to be a chacham. You need someone with discerning wisdom and far-reaching foresight to understand what will be in the future. If you understand what will be in the future, you can plan better in the present. So we have to grab whatever we can now before we get up after 120, when mitzvos will no longer be accessible. And finally, says Reish Lakish, anyone who is careful with this mitzvah will have thousands of servants serving him, be Yemos HaMashiach. With that as our introduction, I open up all the way to the very, very end of Shlach, and that is by the Maftir Aliyah, and that is the mitzvah that we are going to be talking about today. By the way, I don't know if anyone remembers, but last year, not on purpose, we also, it's on YU Torah, from a different shiur on tzitzis, and you don't remember. Last year we did Velosa Sura Achrei Levavchem Ve'Achrei Nechem. We did the Sefer Achinuch in depth, right? On the mitzvah d'oraisa of do not stray after your heart and your eyes. And we did the whole piece of the chinuch in depth. Fine, we're not doing the same shiur today. Even though I venture that I'm like looking at your faces. I don't think anyone remembers. So I could probably come with the chinuch and you wouldn't know. But I did prepare a different shiur, okay? So the psukim tell us all the way at the end of the parasha, Vayomer Hashem and Moshe Lemor. These are words that are anyway very, very familiar to us, because they make up what we call the final paragraph of the Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that you recite every day. Vahafta is from Devarim Perek Vav, Vahaya is from Devarim Perek Yud Aleph, and finally Vayomer is from right here, Bamidbar Perek Tesvav. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Leimar. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, Va'amarta aleim, and you shall say to them, Va'asu lahem tzitzis, you shall make for themselves, they shall make for themselves tzitzis, al kanfei bigdehem, on the corner of their garments, l'dorasam, for their generations, v'nasnu al tzitzis ha'kanaf pesil techeilos. Has anyone been, we wanted to go summer 2019, and it didn't work out with the schedule, on this past Pesach trip, and it didn't work out. Has anyone been to the Techeilos factory? So a few yeses. I would like to get there. I think that's something that must be very... Is it fascinated? I would like to go... Okay, maybe. I would like to go there very, very much to see it, but I haven't been there yet. So what should he put on the corner? Pesil techeilos, a string of techeilos. So Rashi says, okay. Tzitzi, okay. Let's look at Rashi to Pasuk Lamed Ches. First of all, what color is Techeilos? You should put on the corner of the garments Pesil Techeilos. What is a Pesil Techeilos? So Rashi says, Tzeva Yarok Shal Chilazon. This is going to be very, very important. What we're really discussing in today's Shir is why there's a Machlokes in the color of Techeilos and what that Hashkafically means for us. Rashi says, Rashi to Pasuk Lamed Ches, Tzeva Yarok Shel Chilazon. What is Yarok? Green. The green color of a Chilazon. The greenish dye. Article says the greenish dye. Tzeva Yarok. If you ask me what that means, it means the green color. Shel Chilazon of a Chilazon. Okay. They will be for you for tzitzis. Re'isam also, and you will see it. Uzchartim is kol mitzvos Hashem. You will remember all the commandments of God. Va'asisam osam, you will do them. Ve'lo sasur, this is what we did last year. Ve'lo sasur achrei levavchem ve'achrei nechem. You shall not stray. The parsha begins and ends the same way. They went latur es ha'aretz, and they messed up. They went after their eyes. They went after their hearts. Ba'yeshuvu mitur es ha'aretz. They went to scout out the land, and they went after their heart on the eyes. The parsha closes telling you, learn from them. Ve'lo sasu achalei levavchem ve'achrei nechem. Do not scout after. Do not go after your heart and your eyes. Asher atem zoni mechorim, that you stray after them. So Rashi says, why uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem? And I already quoted it from that sefer, that tzitzis is equal to all of the mitzvos. So what does it mean? When you see the tzitzis, you will remember all the mitzvos of God. So Rashi says, sheminyan gematria shel tzitzis sheish meos. Tzitzis in gematria is 600. If you do it, it works out easily. Tzadi in Tzadi is 90, 90 is 180. Two yuds is another 200, and tav is 400. So tzitzis in gematria equals 600. Sheish meos, shmona chutin, eight strings of the tzitzis, chamisha kasharim, five knots. 8 + 5 = 13. So the gematria is 600 plus the eight strings plus the five knots. It equals the taryag mitzvah. So that's why the pasuk says to you that after you have the tzitzis and you see them, uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, you remember the taryag mitzvahs, which we already touched upon, saying there's not any person in Klal Yisrael who could fulfill all the 630 mitzvahs. Rabbi Zavlov says, unless you're a man and a woman and a king and a Levi all together. He said, today that might be possible, but really, that's what he says, and tells it over. But Lamaisa, before today's day and age, and before today's difficult world in which we live, it was not possible for any one person to fulfill all of the taryag mitzvahs. Ve'lo sasu achrei levavchem. So Rashi says, kimo mitur ha'aretz. Rashi connects us to the beginning of the parasha, like they went to scout out the land. V'ha'lev v'ha'inayim hei miraglum v'guf. How does a person come to do an aveira? Your heart desires something. Your eyes see something. They become the spies for your body. That's why there are certain people who are very, very careful with shmiras einayim, because we don't understand how everything we see is a tremendous impact on our neshama. Everything we see, it's the gateway to the soul, the eyes, everything we see affects our soul. Kamo mitur ha'aretz, ha'lev v'ha'inayim he'miraglim l'guf. Misarsirim lo'as ha'virus. The eyes and the heart procure the sins for you. Ha'ayin ro'ah, your eye sees. Halev chomed, your heart desires, v'haguf oses haveira, and the body does the sin. So that's why it says, v'lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. Be very careful with what you see. It will lead your heart to desire. It will lead you to do a sin. L'man tizkru v'asisem es kol mitzvosai, so that you should remember and do all my mitzvos. V'yisem kedoshim v'elokechem, you shall be kadosh to Hashem your God. Ani Hashem v'elokechem, I am Hashem your God. Asher tzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, last pasuk of the parsha that took you out from the land of Egypt, Liosachem, that came to be for you a God. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God. It does not say MSK. That is not part of the pasuk here. So let's talk a little bit about Rashi. I want to point out one thing specifically with Rashi here, and that is, what is the color of Techeles? So at the very end of the last Rashi to the parsha, Rashi says, V'chein tzeva ha-techeles. He compares it to Malkus Bechoros. Rashi says that the techeles is reminiscent to Malkus Bechoros. When did Malkus Bechoros happen? Vayihi b'chatzi ha-layla. So Rashi says, U'makosam ha-yisa b'layla. Malkus Bechoros happened at night. V'chein tzeva ha-techeles. So too, the color of techeles. Dome l'rakia ha-mashchir la'eis erev. Techeles is dome to, comparable to, rakia, which is the firmament of the heavens, hamashchir, la'es erev, a sky becoming dark at the time of evening. What's the problem? What did I tell you in the beginning? Oh, that's exactly right. That's exactly right, Mimi Samus. That's exactly right. What did we say before? Tseva yarok shachila zon. It's green. Now what does Rashi say? Seva techeles dom el rakia hamashchir la'es erev. The sky at night when it's dark is not green. Right? You could say it's not green during the day also, but you could call it turquoise. Hey, maybe we call it yarok. The words in Lashon HaKodesh, I say all the time, are not meant to be in English. So we assign approximate translations. So it's a chayas, we're all associated chayas with turquoise, which could have come from the yarok. But it is not the sky at night when it's dark. What color would you say that is? A deep navy, a midnight blue, almost a black? Continues Rashi, Shmona Chutin Shabbat Keneged Shmona Yamim Shashu Yisrael Mishiyatsu Mimitzrayim Atcha Amushir Aliyam. Rashi's talking about, it's lengthy Rashi, I'm not going through the whole thing because it's already, oh my gosh, late. But you see that the last Pasuk talks about Hashem taking us out of the land of Egypt. So Rashi to the last Pasuk talking about lessons and parallels between Tzitzis and Egypt. So Rashi says that the eight strings represent the 8 days from Yitzias Kuntzrayim till Shiras Hayam. That's how Rashi ends. So we clearly have a discrepancy in what color Techelas is. And that is what we are going to talk about today. Okay? I'm quoting from, before we get into the piece by Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal, I'm going to quote from Miriam Peres. Do you know, what color is Techelas? And that's Akasha. What color do we perceive in life? The sky during the day equals clarity, the ability to see. Things make sense. The world, everything has a place in the world. Everything fits. And then nighttime represents Kabbalistically a great confusion. Darkness represents nonsensical being. Darkness represents when we don't understand. What was there in the beginning of the world? The only thing there was V'aretz ha'isa sohu v'vohu v'choshech al pinei tahom. Choshech represents a void, a chaos, a tohu v'vohu. And Avram Avinu in his Bris Bein HaBsarim in Perek Tesvav of Bereishis, it says what happened by the Bris Bein HaBsarim. V'hine HaShemesh Davo, the sun was setting. Because the sun set, v'hine Eimech HaShecha Gedola Nofeles Alav. He had a nevu of the Arba Golios. Yaakov Avinu was all alone. He's running to Golos. And what happens? V'yifka b'makom v'yala n'sham perachav ches kiva HaShemesh. The sun set. So night represents darkness, Golos, exile, churban. Daytime represents clarity, geula. That's why we read the Megillah 2 times, Megillah's Esther. Because the night represents lahashmi, the arugul abedis kol, yudim minar vadzakein. That's what we read, Megillah by night, represents the Hester panim, chulin 139b, of the story of Esther and Mordechai. But then we read it again during the day, because the day represents the geula, the day represents v'nahapachu. It was lamish, totally overturned. That's why we only read Eicha 1 at night, because the morning has not dawned for Megillas Eicha, for Tisha B'Av. The morning has not come. The geula is not yet here. So before we even go into the piece by the Rav, I'm giving you a preview. There is a paradox in Techelas itself, which represents the paradox of our lives, which is the contradiction, the stira, between the sky during the day, if you want to call it turquoise, when the sun is shining and things make sense, and the sky at night, la'es erev. Erev is from the word ibuvia. Erev is from the word irbuvia, which means confusion, a mixture. The erev rav were a great conglomeration, a great mixture. They brought a lot of confusion to Knesset Yisrael. It was they who instigated Cheder Ege. It was they who instigated Hashem. It was they who instigated the complainers. Erev Irbuvia represents confusion. So what is Techelas? Techelas is both things. Techelas is one, Tzeva Yarok Shechilazon. It's a turquoise color that represents the daytime. And on the other hand, Techelas is Domeh. And that's the story of all of our lives. And that's the story of Knesset Yisrael. And that's with the story of Megillas Esther. At night and in the morning. The next Moed, and it is called a Moed, coming up on our calendar, Rachman al-Tzan, is the Moed of Tisha B'Av. Okay? It's called a Moed. I will be giving the annual, unfortunately. Tisha B'Av Shir at Chatzos, Ezer Hashem. I'm sure some of you attended in the past, so you can mark your calendars for that as well, unless Mashiach comes. Says Miriam Peretz, But when Eliraz fell, and in the summer of 2019, I stood at the graves of Uriel and Eliraz Peretz. But when Eliraz fell, despite all the experience I had accumulated with grief, because Eliraz was her second son to fall, I discovered I needed new tools to cope without Eliezer, her husband, who died between the falling of her first and her second sons. I had to cope with the death of my son. I had to support Shlomit, his widow, and four children, now fatherless. I had no idea what it was to be a widow at such a young age with four little kids still attached to your apron strings. Shlomit's pain stabbed at me more than my own. How I wished I could take the pain away from her. Did experience make the pain any easier? Obviously, the shiur was prepared before I found out that today is Halal Yafa Ariel's Yahrzeit. Unfortunately, thematic for the day. There's no simple answer to the question. There is pain and loss, but coping is different. When I received notice of Eliraz's death, I accused God. Wasn't it enough that you took Uriel, my first son, and Eliezer, my husband? Are you the one who is greater than all others, all-powerful and awe-inspiring? Are you battling against little me? What is the power dynamic between us? It's not fair. But in the same moment, in the midst of all the shock and the pain, I realized the greatness of the Creator. I understood that I, Miriam Peretz, was as inconsequential as an ant walking across the earth. Interesting. But she means in a totally different way. I understood the insignificance of humanity. Eventually, therefore, I learned to say to God, I accept your judgment. I'm not trying to fight you or even argue. I'm asking for only one thing, mercy. Have mercy on me. Let me be their ransom. Do not touch my children or my grandchildren. In the past few years, I've held a constant dialogue with God, and she is able to say, I discover his mercy in every step of my life. I discover his mercy in every step of my life, in every angle and in every situation. What is techelas that you should put on the kanaf bigdehem? Is it turquoise? Does it represent clarity, the sky during the day, and everything makes sense? Megillas Esther read by day? Or is it the darkening night sky, the irbuvia of Erev, the confusion and void of Galus and Megillas Esther at night? I discover his mercy in every step, in every angle and situation. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, I was standing in the kitchen slicing meat. I almost cut off my finger. At the last second, the knife fell from my hand, says Miriam. I lifted my eyes from the sink. I looked through the window to the sky. And I said, thank you for thinking of me, God. Thanks for having mercy on me. Thank you for permitting me to stand in Beit Knesset this Rosh Hashanah without a bandage on my hand. Thank you for your kindness. There's nothing worse, says Miriam, than to lose two sons, Rachmana Litzlan. Yet I, who experienced the worst that could happen, am busy all day long finding God's kindness. What is our approach to the world? What is our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? How do we feel about the difficulties in our life? When you see the psil techeles, ureisem oso, uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, the mitzvos of God are a package deal. The things we understand and the things we don't understand. One day, says Miriam, I decided to do an exercise. I took a piece of paper and I drew two columns. At the top of the first column, I wrote, list of my complaints to God. At the top of the second column, I wrote, list of God's kindnesses. The first list, she says, was short. Uriel, Eliezer, and Eliraz, two sons and her husband. They were taken from me before their time. That is a short list. The second list was practically endless, just like the sky is endless. My daughter Bat-El got married. Little Gili danced and sang at the wedding, her granddaughter. Uriel's friend came to visit. My daughter-in-law Shlomit invited me to spend Shabbat at their home. Despite a slipped disc in my back, I can go up the stairs, and on my own 2 feet, I can climb to my children's graves. It literally says that. What color is galus? What color is techelas? What color reminds us of all the mitzvos and the ribono shel olam? I can open my eyes. I can stand on my feet. I enjoy the blossoming trees. I laugh with my grandchildren. And the list goes on and on. My dance with God. You would think I would just like bring the water, no? We go through the same thing every Thursday morning. My dance with God has become a daily event. I feel a deep connection to Him. I get it from bed after a sleepless night. A sleepless night. Why do we not sleep at night? If you've ever had a sleepless night in your life, maybe it never happened to you. Ashreichem. Sleepless night. Because tzava teches is doma the rakia hamashchir le'eis erev. But after that sleepless night, I see the sun in the window. Doma le'tzava yarok shachilazon. And I say thank you for what I have right now, God. Not for the good that might come tomorrow, and not for the next day, but for right now, I am able to say, thanks, God, for not forgetting about me, for not being too busy for me. You're always available to listen to my pain. God who listens is Tzava Yarok Shechilazon. God of my pain is, why can't I remember? Because I'm not trying. Tzava Tcheles Doma L'Rakia Hamashchir. And now we go to Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. This was delivered in 1977. It is interesting, says the Rav, there are a few controversies about this mitzvah, the mitzvah of tzitzis. Of course, the section dealing with tzitzis emphasizes a double concept, a twofold command, says the Rav. Tzitzis per se, first he's talking about something else, okay? We're going to get to the tzava shel tcheles in a minute. First he talks about two different colors, and that is tcheles and lavan, because there's one string of tcheles, and there's eight strings like we saw in Rashi. Remember tzitzis and gematria, we did it, is 600, eight strings, five knots, is 13, 613. Okay? So first of all, the Rav touches upon them, but the majority of the essay is about the color of tcheles. But there is another two different colors that come together in this command. Tzitzis per se consists of tcheles and levan. By the way, next week is Parshas Korach. That was one of Korach's whole arguments. Remember, one of the things he said is he came, we don't have Shir next week or the week after, but he came in a garment that was kulo tcheles. Remember, he said a few things to Moshe. One of his arguments that Moshe was making things up on his own and Korach should be the leader instead of him. One of the things he said, if you recall, is this garment that is kulo tcheles. Do I have to have tzitzis, chayev, or putter? So Moshe says, you have to have. So he says, how could it be that one string of tcheles absolves the whole garment and makes the whole garment kosher, but I wear a whole garment of tcheles and I still am not putter from the mitzvah? He was mocking the mitzvah of tzitzis. So you have this one string on the corner with the other fringes, and that is tcheles, but you also have lavan. Lavan is what we translate as white. There's a controversy between Rabbi and the Rabbanan, Maseches Menachos, whether Tcheles and Lavan are interdependent. This has, I am not a halacha posek at all. I know nothing in depth about the topic, but this has a lot of shaychus today about the mitzvah of tzitzis and those who hold that we do have Tcheles today and those who hold that we do not have Tcheles today, okay? So it's very interesting. De'oraisa, if they just think about it, if you don't have Tcheles, do you need to have tzitzis? It makes it sound like, from the Chumash at least, that an integral part to the tzitzis is having a pesil techeiras. So if you do not have pesil techeiras, can you still fulfill the commandment of tzitzis without the pesil techeiras? Do you understand? Yes, blank faces, or it makes sense? It doesn't say pesil techeiras is optional. The pasuk doesn't say that. V'nasnu al tzitzis ha-kanaf pesil techeiras. So if you do not have tcheles, can you fulfill the mitzvah? I'll tell you what it's like. Okay, the arba minim. But let's say you only have a lulav, esrog, and hadashim, and you don't have a ravos. You fulfill the mitzvah of the arba minim. So the ma'aseh, no, you don't fill the mitzvah of arba minim. Yeah, I'm not talking about shasar chak. I'm not talking about during the Holocaust. I'm not talking about the ma'aseh. Okay, you're in communist Russia, God forbid. And I'm talking about bedarach klal. How many of the minim do you have to have? Arba minim. And if you don't have arba minim, you're not filling the mitzvah of arba minim. So it's very interesting. So there is a machlokus in the Gemara. This is not relevant in that starting in our day and age. I'm not starting with the Achronim. We go back to the Chazal, and Chazal have a machlokus if they are interdependent or independent. If they're independent, then you can't have one without the other. If they're interdependent, then you can't have one without the other. So today, clearly, the poskim paskin that you can't have one without the other. Why? Because the majority of people wear... Hello? White, without the tcheles, okay? So clearly, we say that they're fulfilling the mishnah tcheles. Again, I'm not a posek. I don't know the sources in depth. That's not the point. I'm just pointing to you something very, very interesting. From the psukim, it seems like you can't have one without the other. This is a machlokus in the Gemara. There is a controversy between Rabbi and the Rabbanan in Masachas Menachos about whether tcheles and levan are interdependent, that means dependent on one another. One cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless he has both colors on his garment, namely levan and tcheles, or are they two separate mitzvos, separated from each other? And then, even if a person does not have tcheles, as a matter of fact, he says, we do not have tcheles today. Footnote, the Rav followed the opinion of his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, Rav Yashar Ber Salvechik Mibrisk, held that it is impossible for have tcheles for us to have, so the Beis Halevi held that it is impossible for us to have tcheles nowadays. We have no Mesor on it. I don't know if in 1977 they had even discovered what they think is a chilazon. I'm not stating my opinion. Again, I have no idea. I can't paskin at all. But I don't know if in 1977, when the Rav gave the shir, if they had even discovered what they think is, those who think it's tcheles think it's tcheles. But according to the Beis Halevi, you cannot have tcheles today. So the Rav says, even a person who has no tcheles, as a matter of fact, he said in 1977, we do not have tcheles today, can he still discharge his duty pertaining to the mitzvah of tzitzis if the tzitzit are made exclusively of lavan? So that's a kasha of the Gemara, and there are two different opinions. This controversy is known as tcheles me'akev es halavan, which is that tcheles and levan are interdependent. You cannot have one without the other. Or ein tcheles me'akev es halavan, which is you can have one without the other. They are independent. It's interesting because, again, in the psukim, it seems like it's not optional. Right. Rabbi and the Chachamim disagree. According to Rabbi, it seems tzitzis, levan and tcheles, the white and the blue, are interdependent and cannot be separated. According to Rabbi, we would not, this is from the Gemara Maseches Menachos, Lamed Ches Aleph, we wouldn't have to wear tzitzis nowadays because we do not have tcheles. This is the first controversy. So that is almost, it's a very interesting halachic discussion. It's beyond, way beyond the scope of my halachic erudition at all. So I know I have to keep going, please. I can't believe the time. I want to get to the main part of the shir, which is how I really, really started. So, okay, so that's also something interesting to keep in mind. Obviously, today we clearly hold that there is ein tcheles me'akev es halavan, because we see people wearing tzitzis that do not have tcheles, and we hold that they fill the mitzvah and they make the bracha on it in the morning. There is another controversy about tcheles, which is where we are talking about in a very hashkafic-based shir today. On the yurt side of Halal Yafa Ariel, totally unbeknownst to me when I prepared the shir earlier this week. What kind of color is tcheles? So it's interesting. He quotes Rashi and the Rambam who disagree. I don't think you have to go to Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi disagrees with himself. He says that Rashi holds one way, he's going to say, and the Rambam holds the other way. But Lamaisa, if you look in the Chumash, what do you see? Rashi himself disagrees with Rashi. In one place he says, Sava Yerok Shachilazon, and the other place he says, Tcheles Doma Lirakia Hamashchir Le'es Erev. See, I was trying, so I remembered it. Okay, so Rashi contradicts himself. But Lamaisa, so there are clearly two different opinions. The Rav says, Rashi and the Rambam disagree. Both say, and again, you could just say Rashi and Rashi disagree. Both opinions say tcheles resembles the color of the sky, of the firmament. Yeah? Tzevach am yarok shachilazon. And we know the famous Gemara, tcheles dome liyam, yam dome lirakia, rakia dome lekisei hakavod. So everyone holds that the color of tcheles is dome lirakia. The question is, the rakia changes colors. It doesn't really change colors. We perceive that it changes colors. So which color is tcheles? Is it the yarok, the turquoise of the rakia? Or is it tzeva hamashir, the ace erev, the nighttime rakia? The question is, which sky, says the Rav? The morning, the midday, or the evening sky, when the sky begins to darken? At this time, Rashi says, he says, quote, no one pays attention to Rashi. That's what a mamash says here, okay? Rashi says, Petcheus represents the evening sky, the sky that begins to darken at the evening of the time, which is, I told you, the final words, practically, the final words of Rashi to the Parsha. According to Rashi, Tcheles is very dark, bordering what you would say on black. You know that sky, the Ace Arab, it's such a beautiful, but it's a perfect sky. It's like that deep navy blue. It's a very, very, very dark blue, almost black. Okay? Interesting, the art scroll foot. Now, this is the Sefer, the Rav thinking aloud on the Parsha. It's transcripts of the Rav Shiurim, okay, compiled by Rabbi David Holzer. So the art scroll footnote says, this is very interesting, according to Rashi, that Rashi at the end of the Parsha, that Tzeva Tcheles is domel rakia hamashchil le'eis erev, we're able to explain a custom that some people have. Why do people wear black stripes on their talisim? Ideally, a talis should be the same color as the tzitzis, pure white. See the Shulchan Aruch. However, some say the stripes are remembrance for the Tcheles. According to Rashi, then, we would understand why they are black. Black. Dark. Okay? Excuse me. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. Rambam says, the Rav says. Rambam, the Rav says in Hilchos Tzitzis, Vizehi Dumus HaRakia. Tcheles is the image of the Rakia. The Rakia is the firmament, the color of the firmament. Hanir Eis Le'ein HaShemesh B'Taharo Shal Rakia. Hanir Eis Le'ein HaShemesh. What color of the Rakia? The Rakia, when the sun is shining, B'Taharo, in its purity, in the firmament. He calls Tcheles Taharo Shal Rakia, the purity of the sky when the sun is shining. Most probably, says the Rav, the Rambam and Brisk was very, 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 the Lamdus of Brisk was very heavily focused on the Rambam and the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rav says that the Rambam most probably recommends Tcheles should resemble the color of the sky at midday, at noon. Okay, we're getting there. Taharo shavakia haniris la'ein hashamesh. When would you say you see the eye of the sun in the middle of the sky? Well, you wouldn't say that's at 4:30 in the morning, and you wouldn't say it's at 11:30 at night, and you wouldn't even say it's at 6 o'clock in the afternoon when it's starting to set. The sun, the ein hashamesh, the taharo shavakia is midday. As a matter of fact, the Chachmei Kabbalah have developed new concepts dependent on this machlokas. According to Rashi, therefore, Tcheles would represent, says the Rav, we could say, Midas Hadin, which was already where I was going with you in the introduction to Shir. Miriam Perev says, are you God, the all-powerful, the Ein Sof, the Kol Yachal? Are you out to get little me? Is this a fair battle? Tcheles represents Midas Hadin, dark black. According to the Rambam, Tcheles represents Midas HaChesed. It's light. Which is it? It's both. Which Lamaisa, which way do we paskin halachically? Which is the Tcheles? So again, you go to your Chachamim and your Gedolim, and Bezor Hashem and Mashiach comes, we'll all have clarity as to what do we have Tcheles today? Don't we have Tcheles today? Tcheles and Lavan. So really, Tzitzis is a paradox of colors, and an intermingling of colors, and a contradiction of colors. And that's what life is. Life is a paradox, life is an intermingling, and life is a great contradiction. Tcheles and Lavan, Jewish destiny, is a paradox. On the one hand, they don't stop killing us. On the other hand, how are we still here? Jewish destiny is a contradiction. We have times when we almost disappear and times when we're as great as the sun in the midday sky, or the moon, I should say. We're lunar people. Tcheles and Lavan represent two approaches of man to himself and the world outside of himself. Lavan is white, so he's going back to the Lavan and the Tcheles, the strings. But Lavan, white, signifies distinctiveness, openness, rationality, simplicity, truthfulness. Something which is fundamental, which is obvious, which is true, is Lavan. Something is self-evident. I'm skipping a little. White is clarity in my own words, openness, rationality, sensical, accessible. And so it is the Techeila sky in the middle of the day. Techeilas when it's dark is just the opposite. Just like the rabbis say, Techeilas Dom Eliyam, I quoted this already, it's Masecha Sota. The Techeilas resembles the sea. So it's interesting, what color is the sea? Well, it depends where you are. If you're in the Caribbean, okay, it could be a turquoise green. And if there's a storm coming and there's dark clouds, the sea could be very dark. It's the same. So it's gevaldik. When the Gemara says Techeilas Dom Eliyam, it does not actually tell us what color that is. Why? Because the yam also, I know it never changes color. If you pick up water and you put in a clear glass, the yam is going to be clear. But our perception of the color of the sea changes depending on the sky, depending on the weather, depending on the geographic location. So when the Gemara says Techeilas Dom Eliyam, which yam? Is it the yam in the Mediterranean? Is it the yam in the Caribbean? Is it the yam when there is in the Galapagos Islands? Is it the yam when there's a thunderstorm over the Atlantic Ocean? Which yam? The yam itself represents the paradox of life. Hatcheles doma liyam, the yam doma the rakia, which rakia? The rakia in the middle of the afternoon? Or the rakia la'eis erav? Rakia hamachshir la'eis erav, which rakia? Rakia doma le kisei hakavod. Which kisei hakavod? The kisei hakavod that took Halal Yafa Ariel in her bed at 12 or 13, stabbed in her bed to death? Or the kisei hakavod that gave us the state of Israel? Each stage that Chazal say the Techeilas represents is an inherent contradiction. It's a very famous mamar about Techeilas. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Techeilas Dom Eliyam. Yeah, you know this mamar, Chazal? Very famous. Techeilas Dom Eliyam. Because what's the Gemara saying? The pasuk says, "V'haya lechem letzitzis ureisam oso uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem." So the Gemara is saying, how will seeing the tzitzis remind you of all the mitzvos of God? That's the kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Ah, when you see the psil Techeilas." Techeilas Dom Eliyam, you'll remember the sea. Yam Dom El Rakia, when you see the sea, you'll remember the sky, the firmament. Rakia Dom El Kisei HaKavod, when you see the firmament, you'll remember the Kisei HaKavod. That's what the Gemara says. We're giving a much deeper interpretation of this Gemara based on today's Shir. I'm offering you something much deeper. Not just Psha, Techeilas Dom Eliyam, Yam the Rakia, Rakia the Kisei HaKavod, which is a very famous mamar of Chazal, of Masechta Sota. We're trying to understand this in a much deeper way, this Gemara. Techeilas Dom Eliyam. Which Techeilas? Tzava Yarok, the Techeilas of turquoise? Or Dom El Rakia Hamashchir La'eis Erev, the Techeilas of midnight blue, almost black? The Techeilas of Dom Eliyam. Which Yam? The Yam in the Caribbean? Or the yam over a storm, under a storm in the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. It's two different colors. One is turquoise, bluish green, and one is dark gray. Yam domel le rakia. Which rakia? The rakia of the Rambam, la'ein shemesh b'taharaso, or the rakia of Rashi, rakia hamachshir le'eis erev. Which kisei hakavod? I'm not trying to say kafra, so it's not two kisei hakavod. I know that. But God interacts with the world with different attributes. Which kisei hakavod? The kisei hakavod of Shefa Bracha and Tova Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. The kisei hakavod of Zavas Chavud Vash. The kisei hakavod of Shefa Bracha and Nisim Galuyim and the State of Israel. Or the kisei hakavod of Miriam Peretz walking on her own two feet to the graves of her two sons. This paradox exists in the life of all of us. It's a gevaldik pshat to this Gemara. The Gemara is very ambiguous. The Gemara itself does not tell you a color. Techeilas Dom Eliyam, Yam Dom El Rakia, Rakia Dom El Kisei Hakavod. What's the color? What's the answer to our lives? How do we make sense of this tremendous stira that's before us all the time in Jewish destiny and the history of Eretz Yisrael and the history of Am Yisrael and in our own personal lives. What's the color of Techeles? What's the color of the sea? What's the color of the Rakia? And what's the color of the Kisei HaKavod? Sometimes the answer is Tzava Yarok Shachil Hazon. It's a clear, crystal clear, bluish-green color. And sometimes it's the Techeles Dome L'Rakia HaMachshir L'Eis Erev. Sometimes it's so dark. I'm going back to the Rav now. Going back to the Rav. Tcheles resembles the firmament, the blue sea. The sea resembles the sky. Okay, we took a break for a minute, now we're back in the Rav. And the sky resembles the celestial throne. What do they mean? Different pshat. Distance, inapproachability, something beyond my reach. Tcheles is meant to remind you, according to this pshat of the Rav, of the Kisei HaKavod. What does the Kisei HaKavod remind you of? How far away God is from you. How distant you are from God. How inaccessible and unapproachable God is. Something which is outside and beyond my control. The Rakia is blue. It's very distant. The Rakia is very far from me. And the Kisei HaKavod is even farther from me. I have to skip, unfortunately. Whatever we cannot reach, whatever is outside of our control, whatever we do not understand, whatever suggests mystery is Techeles, says the Rav. Which Techeles? The dark, dark Techeles. As a matter of fact, the Jewish approach to the world has always been has not been a uniform one. The Jewish approach to the world is not one uniform approach. Because the world itself, reality surrounding us, and we ourselves display two different streaks. One is rationality, a well-organized world that follows the principle of cause and effect, tzadik v'tovo. There are no jumps in this world. The human mind can grasp this world. Everything in this world makes sense. Reminds me of the pasuk from Tehillim, lahagir baboker chastacha. In the morning, when the sky is blue, when everything is clear, I can speak of your chasadim, Hashem. On the other hand, says the Rav, the world is sometimes very perplexing. Science has made tremendous progress, fantastic progress. The whole of technology is progressing. Imagine this was 1977. What would we say today? But all the scholars in the world who placed a man on the moon with such precision are helpless with regard to certain illnesses, to degenerative disease. The people who sent man up to the moon, circling around the moon, landing on the moon, can do nothing when there's one cell that goes berserk and develops not in accordance with the requirements of the organism. There is the mystery of life. Apparently, the same world which is so generous in giving us information is also very stingy and refuses to yield any information about herself. Once again, our approach to the world, to science, to medicine, to illness, Rahman al-Atslan, to healing, follows this approach. Sometimes it makes sense. There's a clear plan. There's a pattern. There's a plan. You know what you're going to do. And it makes sense. And there's success. And sometimes everything goes haywire and nothing makes sense. In our private lives, says the Rav, there's not a single man in the world who did not live through or did not experience the rationality of the universe. There are times in your life when you see the Midas HaChesed, the Kisei HaKavod of Midas HaChesed. And there is not a single person who is not confronted with the mystery and puzzle of the universe. I have to skip a little bit. From the standpoint of Lavan, he keeps going back and forth between Lavan and Tcheles and the two colors of Tcheles. I'm focusing much more on the contradiction between the two colors of Tcheles, but the Rav Shir still applies if you focus on Lavan and Tcheles, which to him means clarity and confusion. whiteness, openness, rationality, or darkness, void, irrationality. And if you focus on the two colors of tcheles. From the standpoint of Lavan, or we could say, dark tcheles, the whole business of Eretz Yisrael is just a big hoax. What do you mean? You come into a land populated by Arabs. The land is adjacent to Arab land on all sides. There are 100 million Arabs. 1 million Jews come in. All right, 2.5 million, 3 million, 4 million, who cares? It's batel berov. By the way, that's exactly what the Meragim said. The Arabs are rich, we are poor, they control the wealth of the world, and yet we're ready to fight. Why? Because the land was promised us by the Almighty 4,000 years ago. That's what the Meragim said. Amalek is in the south. The Canaanites are on the Mediterranean and the Yarden River. There are giants in Hebron. In the mountainous region, there's the Amori and the Yavusi. We can't do it. Chazakum mimeno, they said, they're stronger than God. Kapi ma'o kaviyacha. The Meragim said they're even stronger than God. So the Rav says, that's right. Rationality, Lavan, white, doesn't make any sense. It's a hoax. Hundreds of millions of Arabs, a few Jews. He says, quote, it's batel berov. They don't understand their viewpoint, the world. They don't understand what it's all about. They don't understand that not everything makes sense, yet we still follow after God. They don't understand that even when there is confusion, we cling to the Ribono Shel Olam. What did the students of the great Rabbi Akiva say to him? He said, Kol chayai brachu samech aleph. Kol chayai ha'isi mitzta'er al ha'posuk zeh. First paragraph of Shema. B'chol nafshecha. Afilu no tal es nafshecha. Masai avo liyadi v'akayimena. Achshav sheba liyadi v'lo akayimena. Amru lo tamid av rabbeinu ad kan. Until here is your devotion to God. It's easy to be devoted to God when the sky is light and it's turquoise green and everything makes sense. Re'isem oso uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem va'asisem osam. When you see the tcheles, you need to remember all the mitzvos of God. Not only when the tcheles is doma letzeva yarok, but also letzeva hamachshir, lorakia hamachshir, la'ish erev. This is something the world, says the Rav, does not understand. They do not understand our approach. But the Jew has a twofold approach. In order to be the victor, not only the victor, in order to take defeat, one is required, one quality is required, techeles. One other quality about tcheles. Oh no, it's 10:29. One other quality about tcheles. Tcheles must be, the Gemara says, permanent. You cannot use the dye of the kala ilan. You cannot use the same color dye of a tree which washes out. So after you do the laundry a few times, it's not going to be permanent anymore. When it comes to tcheles, you must use a permanent dye. What does that represent? Our permanent devotion to the Ribono Shel Olam. Permanence, loyalty, steadfastness, as far as our commitments are concerned. Loyal to a national tradition which should have been forgotten long ago. Why are we fighting today for our ideals? Why are we fighting for Torah? Why are we fighting New York State for Jewish education? Because we are loyal, we are permanent, we are steadfast. You can't use the dye of the kala ilan, the tree which was the same color but washed out. Devotion, absolute, unqualified, unreserved devotion to a commitment we took upon ourselves 3,500 years ago, 4,000 years ago. And that's why the halacha requires that the tcheles be permanent. If it's just kala ilan, which is a cheap imitation in the times of the Amoraim, it is derived from a plant which fades over time. This is not tcheles. This is not the Jewish approach to history. The covenant of 4,500 years ago, the dawn of our history, people do not understand us. They laugh at us. But this is the Jewish approach. For one thing, and for that ability, one thing is necessary, a sense of loyalty. So it's true, by the way, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah, of tzitzis. He writes that women can wear it if they want. I'm not recommending that, because I think today you would be making a very, very strong statement and putting yourself in a very certain camp. If you want to be in that camp, so you could go out with tzitzis. If you don't want to be in that camp, it's not something I recommend. We go after Minhag HaMakom and our poskim today. However, you see that this mitzvah has a lot of relevance, very much hashkafically, in our personal lives and in our national destiny. HaTcheles Dom Eliyam. What color is Tcheles? Is it the blue of the turquoise of the sky when everything makes sense? Or is it the midnight black when nothing makes sense? That is Dom Eliyam. Which color is the yam? Is it the Caribbean blue? Or is it the storm in the Pacific? Dark gray. Yam domel rakia. Which rakia? The rakia of the Rambam, Ein Shemesh b'taharaso, or the rakia of Rashi, rakia hamachshir, the Eis Erev, or rakia domel the kisei hakavod. Which kisei hakavod? The kisei hakavod of geula, of chesed, of shafa bracha, or the kisei hakavod that decreed the death, the murder of Halal Yafa Ariel, the Kisei HaKavod that allows Miriam Peretz to walk on her own two feet to the graves of Eli Razan Uriel. This is the story of our lives, and it's the story of our national destiny. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will remain loyal to God, a permanent die, not the Kala Ilan. Ad Be'ezrat Hashem, the Yemos HaMashiach, and the clarity when Tishbi Yabayar Kushios Ubaios. And all the quandaries, the paradoxes, the contradictions, the confusion will all be resolved. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Reminder, there is no shir for the next 2 weeks. The next time we meet here is July 14th, Be'ezrat Hashem. So I wish everybody enjoy your little break. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will see you back soon. Thank you so much, everyone.